Don't say I didn't warn you.
I have come here to kick bubblegum and chew ass. I'm all out of ass.
Say, what are you trying to say?
My bowling ball's frozen in a footlocker in Chicago.
Mind.
Say that because he is Bigfoot.
Soratagamo.
Don't fucking quit. I don't even know what fucking do.
Welcome to the Hive.
Who would win a fight between Mamie Eisenhower and Billy Graham? How about Bo Diddley and Kay Smith?
What's the relationship between Styrofoam and the planet Jupiter?
Excuse me, I'm Eric Lentra.
Charles Xavier.
Go fuck yourself.
Greetings and salutations. I am Wiggly from We Talk Games, and we're happy to be part of 8-Bit Geeks 8-Bit Xmas, where we talk about 8-Bit Xmas movies. What's that? Somebody slicing up a hamburger?
It's bells, because I am filled with holiday cheer. It's me, Kyle Von Kubik. So happy to be a part of this very merry 8-Bit Xmas.
Oh.
And I'm Keith the Robo Duke, and I'm dashing through the snow over here.
I was hoping you'd be stuffing my stocking. What?
I'm going to get out my own noisemaker if you're going to bring the bells. Here we go. It's a lightning drum. I can do it.
Now you do, Chief.
Jingle bell rock.
Now that everyone's turned this podcast off.
Why did they invite us back?
We're delighted to be back again, because we're delighted. Are. That's why.
We're delighted that they didn't learn their lesson the first time.
Hey, no, we are really, really happy. We had a fun time last time when we talked about Columbo, and this time we'll be talking about Xmas Comes on Pac-Land 3 times for a quarter.
Yeah. If you haven't told by now, it is us, your favorite hosts from We Talk Games, WeTalkGames.com. We are a podcast that talks about arcade games weekly.
We do.
And given any excuse to talk about vulgarity, well, of course, but when it comes to Christmas, yeah. I think we can bring something a little extra special to the table here, something definitely cut from a cloth of our own.
Pac-Man arcade games, they go hand in hand. This is based on the Hanna-Barbera cartoon of the same name from 1982, and it has very little to do with the arcade game or Christmas.
Chomp Chomp wasn't in the arcade game, like get to a certain level and unlock the dog power-up? Cat?
It was Pac-Man and Super Pac-Man and Pac-Man Plus were cited as to why Namco took back the franchising rights of Pac-Man from Williams, but I'm pretty sure this cartoon had something to do with it as well.
The ultimates in a recycling of animation, Hanna-Barbera, were the ones overseeing all of this. Hanna-Barbera is not bad, but I mean, they recycle a lot of stuff, a lot of ideas.
This cartoon came out in 1982. Ms. Pac-Man.
Well, she's called Pepper in here, though.
She's called Pepper Pac-Man, and she's called Mrs. Pac-Man.
Where does Pepper come from? Pepper is another character from Namco.
Pepper Pac-Man or Pepper? Or just Pepper?
Pepper.
Are you thinking of Pepper Pete from Burger Time?
Yeah.
This also has Pac-Baby in it.
Yeah, it's Baby Pac, but it's not Junior Pac-Man.
No, it's named, and it's Pac-Baby, not Baby Pac.
Well, Pac-Baby, well, wait a minute. Miss Pac-Man, and then they had a baby.
That was in Miss Pac-Man, yeah, which came in after this cartoon series. So this series, I'm going to guess, was not sanctioned by Namco.
Hey, you know what we should do? Guess about things.
That's what we're doing. And you can hear discussion like this over at WeTalkGames.com, where we just sort of guess about arcade games and their history.
Well, I'm going to guess that the distributor, Taft Broadcasting, didn't have any connection to Namco, and probably
I heard they got stuck in a tub.
Yes,
that's a William Taft joke. You're welcome.
Always so, popular with the kids. Here's what I see right now. I'm looking up Namco and Pepper, and the first thing that comes up is a $46 roll of toilet paper. Because it's NamcoDallas.com, and then I also get El Poder del Cartoon. Mario and Luigi Paper Jam Brothers.
Oh, okay.
So maybe Pac-Man was secretly dating Pepper from
the toilet paper?
No, from Burger Time, dressed in drag. Mm. How'd they have a baby? Probably one of those anal babies.
Oh my God. Mm.
They don't wear pants or anything. They just wear like winter gear.
The packs.
When they're walking around. Yeah, yeah. The packs. So the like, pack. I'm not sure how they have babies. This whole thing worries me about how they eat. Everyone's obsessed with wanting to chomp on each other. Like, yeah, there is some Smurfs thing.
Fetish confessions happening on part of the ghost during this. We're going to put him in chocolate syrup once we throw the net over him. What?
I would think that
then we're going to munch him like this. Parents, let me watch this.
I think that eating things must have to do with reproduction in Pac-Land.
Here's the thing. I think Pac-Man and Pac-Land is all about, particularly this special, seasonal depression. Because at one point during the Christmas special, and it is barely a Christmas special, yeah, Pac-Man does get munched on by the ghosts.
Yeah.
He doesn't die or disappear. He's just sort of bummed out.
Well, that's what happens in the Pac-Man cartoon. You get weak, yes, from getting chomped on.
And the only way to feel better is by taking a Zoloft, a power pellet.
They are spent.
Yeah.
I have arrived. Okay, let's set up what this is. This is really Christmas coming to Pac-Land. Santa Claus's reindeer, they have some type of breakdown and they crash into Pac-Land. Now, Pac-Man has never heard of Santa Claus. Santa Claus has never heard of Pac-Man. And Pac-Man has never heard of Christmas. Neither have the ghosts and everybody else. So Pac-Man, Pac-Baby, Pepper Pack, Mayor Pack, Pack and Sloss,
Officer O'Pack.
Officer O'Pack. I love how they're like he's got to be Irish, guys. Come on.
And me, Morris.
Chomper. Is that the janitor guy?
There's one pack person named Morris.
Yeah. Chomper the dog, which is a round dog, but not yellow. He's just looks like a dog. And there's a round cat named Hisser?
Sourpuss.
Sourpuss, that's right. There's a fully realized family. And then, of course, there's the ghosts. And they all live in Pac-Land. Now, in the cartoon Pac-Man, there's all different color Pac-Mans. And they drive around in cars and everything else. Mm-hmm. Now, this Pac family drives around in cars.
Oh, evidently, man, and the sound on their car. They sound like little hovercrafts. It's typical Hanna-Barbera. We only have the same 24 sound effects, so we use them in every goddamn cartoon we put out.
The Pac family evidently drive around in the car that uses the futuristic Jetson engine.
Yes!
Yeah, Mr. Beasley or whatever his name was.
Cogswell Cogs! I don't even know if that's his voice or if that's the right guy, because there's Spacely Sprockets as well.
But however, you know, yes, strangely, I guess they didn't need him. No Mesmeron, who was the guy, evil person, that wore like, for, I don't know, he's a fucking freak show. He was like half a Darth Vader without the helmet. He just had the talk box in front of him. And he used to always be looking for the Pack Power Pellet Forest. So he was the leader of the East Side Kids, I guess.
Wait, there was another monsters? Evil villain they invented for this show?
Well, for the Pac-Man show, yes.
See, this is all I've ever seen from the show.
You know,
this is all I've ever seen. I don't remember it.
They cut to the exterior of this, like, I don't know, mountain or volcanic lair, and then they zoom into the ghost's shitty little shack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's usually in there.
The wizard dude lived in that Castle Grayskull.
As far as I could tell, Clyde seemed to just be the one who was in charge of everything. But
yeah, he's the leader of the ghosts, but he's got to answer to his boss.
Right.
So he's kind of like the beast man to this guy's Skeletor.
And I'm going to go back and say that I really think... that was very funny. I should have gave it its time. I'm going to say that this cartoon is probably another overextension of what Williams thought that they could do with the Pac-Man license, because they put out Miss Pac-Man without Namco knowing, and they changed one of the ghosts to Sue.
Right.
And they also took Pac-Pal and did a sprite swap with that and replaced Pac-Man and his pal with Chomp Chomp and Sourpuss.
Aha. Uh-huh. But now
Sourpuss has no nose. What's up with that? Well, Chomp Chomp has the nose, but Sourpuss has no nose.
Yes, but Chomp Chomp, unfortunately, is post from throat cancer because he's
and interestingly enough is voiced by Frank Welker, who we all know voiced Megatron.
Oh, wow. Oh,
is that so?
Yeah. I'm going to double check my math here, but if I remember correct, Frank Welker, who was Chomp Chomp and one of the reindeer, he's Dr. Claw. He is a long, long time voice actor. Oh, legendary. That makes
sense. I remember Chomp Chomp saying, "I'll get you, Gadget."
All I got to say is that is the most heart-wrenching bark I've ever heard from a dog. It should have been like this. Hello, I am a dog, woof, woof. We got the voice box.
And a little Christmas tie-in, Frank Welker has also voiced Santa's little helper from The Simpsons. So it's not the first time he's voiced another dog.
Now, who did Santa? Because he wasn't a bad Santa.
Peter Cullen also did the voice of Sourpuss.
Oh, okay. Peter. Well, see, now that was a real cat.
Oh, wait. Peter Cullen is the voice of Optimus Prime from Transformers.
So what you're getting at, Keith, is both voice actors did better things than this stupid Christmas.
Yes, but if you think about it, the dog is Megatron and the cat is Optimus Prime.
And they're fighting the entire episode.
Oh, my God. Wow, this game's got
Chomp
levels.
Chomp turned into a gun at one point.
But then they had to change it because the parental guidance thing, he had to become a jukebox or something.
Oh, maybe.
So anyway, Santa's late. He's riding through the air with Rudolph, which is kind of fun. That Rudolph is actually in it, so he probably didn't pay royalties for Rudolph. And all of a sudden, Santa crashes, and Pac-Man thinks this string of dead reindeer strewn across the snow mounds is a crashed UFO.
So good.
How the fuck do you think these dead animals...
The way they're positioned in the snow, they really do look like they're dead.
Yeah, they're mangled. All their little bones are broken.
Their necks are broken. Yeah, yeah.
It's one of my favorite parts, actually. Not that, you know, the crash itself, but, I mean, the fact that, as we mentioned before, neither of them know who each other is.
You just love seeing animals hurt, Keith.
No.
It's the only way you know how to climax.
The fact that it has...
Oh, my God. Like,
wow.
For the holidays.
It's about my sexuality set on this show, but damn.
I know is that one Santa from the waist up, if you would have panned down, you would have seen kids' shoes.
I get that.
After they discuss that, they discussed the whole, like, oh, I don't know who you are. Pac-Land? What's Pac-Land? I'm like, so why was he flying over it if he has no idea what it is, and he's got a computer guidance system in the sleigh to guide him where he needs to go. So obviously there's a virus in there or something. But when he's like, oh no, my sleigh's crashed, he gets back into the sleigh. The reindeer are mangled in piles of snow, and he hits the reins, like the whips, to go. Like, they're about to just get up and take off.
And Keith is so hard at this point.
Oh, God.
I just know I started laughing. It's the most darkly comedic moment in this thing. These reindeer
have eaten shit into the snow. And this dude's like, come on, crack, let's go.
He's pressing the button on his computer.
Yeah, it takes that for him to realize, I am really in trouble, aren't I?
But one thing we learn that Pac-Land obviously has no solstice. They have no winter solstice. They have no summer solstice. They have no equinox. They live in a land that
we learned that every character is a fucking idiot in the show. Whether it be our protagonist or our antagonist, they are all stupid.
I think they're all depressed, especially Pac-Man. Like you said, it's seasonal depression because Santa, at the point where they're like, we can't do it. And Pac-Man's like, oh, has this happened before? And Santa's crying. There are tears in Santa's eyes.
I guess I'll just find a pillow or a noose.
Yeah, he goes, it's the first time in all of history.
We didn't get there yet. We still got five more minutes of show before we get to that part.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to get
too far. Yeah, this is not a big commitment. We're talking, 22 minutes?
24 minutes.
I thought that was right at that point because each time...
readily available online, too.
Very good. Is the Pack family tobogganing first and then they come back and find Santa?
What happens is they're the Packs are out having fun. The ghosts are like, let's go chomp them.
Sweet Pac-Man bodies.
I'm gonna eat them.
So they're chasing the Pack family. The Pack family go to get emergency Pack pellets, which just so happen to be out in the snow-covered woods.
I talked about this part in a previous We Talk Games, in that they go to get the Pack pellets, but there's none there. The ghosts have already stolen them, and now it's the infamous snowball battle.
Yes.
And the one ghost is so stupid that instead of throwing snowballs back at the Pack people, he starts throwing his large pile of Pack power pellets. And, of course, Pac-Man says, Pack power! To which I said, puke! Because this is so terrible.
Yes. It's so badly written. So they chomp the ghosts. The ghost's eyeballs go flying off into the sky to go back to their volcano base. The ghost's eyes scare Santa's reindeer, which causes him to crash land.
That's right. That's right.
So technically, it's all Pac-Man's fucking fault, man.
It is.
Oh, wow.
Got to go around chomping people who try to chomp him. I thought this was the holiday season. Chomp the other cheek.
And it was Pac-Man that drove the fucking family toboggan off the giant cliff. It was his fault. In fact, all through this movie, Pac-Man, to me, is the heavy.
He's a maker of his own mess. It's all Pepper's just kind of following him around, calling him Packy the entire time, which just sounds so weird.
Yeah.
Fudge Packy.
Why not just Pack? Like, hey, Pack. Like, you don't have to go full Pac-Man. Why even add another syllable?
Right.
You're supposed to subtract them.
That's right. Then what happens?
Well, then, as we mentioned before, Santa.
Well, doesn't Santa get a cold? He has a cold.
Oh, yeah,
kind of. He just coughs a little bit or sneezes once, and Pepper's like, "You need some power pellet cocoa."
Oh my God!
If power pellets are so readily available, perhaps bring them with you wherever you may go. Because your only threat in Pac-Land are idiotic ghosts.
Yeah, but that's what ruins, like, even what you said right there. Like, aren't power pellets everywhere?
They're everywhere.
Why do they have to take a fucking journey to the forest later to power up the reindeer?
Elevator pitch was like, yo, we're going to do Smurfs, but it's Pac-Man, okay? Get us some cocaine in 3 days. We'll pump out 3 seasons for you.
That's what it is. Yeah, they have to go back to the house and his Pack friends, I guess, Sergeant Opak and Morris comes over to fix the sleigh for Santa.
Hey, it's me, your favorite Pack character, Morris.
Remember from the games?
We can fix any sleigh. We never heard of Santa Claus. We can fix your sleigh. Your fucking computer-controlled sleigh.
Yeah, everyone is so readily to believe everything. Like, never heard of you, Santa. And Santa's like, I've never heard of Pac-Land. Hey, Santa, you're going to follow along with these crazy anthropomorphic balls? Like, how is his first reaction not like, did one of the elves dose me?
Yeah, it's actually more believable for Santa to be like, what the fuck are these Martians? It's thinking he's an alien. What are these abominations?
You know, if we want to tie it more into the holiday season, it's like, did Santa fly through the door with the Pac-Man symbol on it and end up in Pac-Land?
Yeah, there you go. I think that Santa should have got there and then put Miss Pac-Man under his tongue. That's a throwback to the 60s right there. In the cartoon of Pac-Man itself, they go around, they go out on barbecues, they're eating fucking Pac hamburgers. They're like called Pack pellet burgers or something. Everything that they make has a power pellet in it. As you said, she's making a power pellet hot cocoa, for Christ's sake. And if you notice in here, they can't get packed up unless they eat dozens and dozens of power pellets. And then they get all on the insulin and are jacked up. And now they can go chomp ghosts.
Is it that, like, all the food is, it's not pure, you know? It's not as, like, as good as when you get it from the source, man. It, like, really hits you, and you're just
everybody
powered
crawled up.
Up
the ass of Underdog for taking a power pellet or a power pill,
yeah.
And Mighty Mouse for sniffing opiate flowers. This show was promoting overuse of pills.
Well, yeah. Well, the 1966 Hercules also had his Hercules ring, which he had a pill inside that he took.
Yeah.
This was all just preparation for crack and all that stuff coming up very soon after 1982. Right. They were just mentally preparing everybody
for it. Remember, kids, crack is a gateway drug to marijuana. Now, which ghost monster starts hitting all the other ghosts with tennis rackets right into the fucking pack people's mouths?
Oh, there's even a cigarette joke.
Oh, there is?
In here. Yeah, because the one ghost goes, "Ah, Pac-Man, you don't want to eat me, look." And he lifts up his ghost dress to Pac-Man. And there's a Surgeon General's warning saying that chomping could be dangerous for your health. And then he's like, "Get in my mouth."
Yeah, no, that was, yeah, Pac-Man returns with, "Well, you should check. Oh, I have a warning too," and sticks out his tongue.
Oh, and they're like, trying to read his tongue.
Yeah, and then they're all idiots, and he just chomps them. That is the moment I like to call. Pac-Man says, "Smoke them up, kids."
Yeah.
See, I was into this movie. I was into this movie. I was into this movie.
22-minute movie.
I was in this movie until the ghost that was tennis racketing the other ghost into Pac-Man's mouth. Then he tennis rackets himself. And see right there, impossible. Because forces always act in equal and opposite pairs. It violates Newton's third law of motion. Yes, when Kinky jumps in the air, he's using action-reaction forces. But once he swings the racket to hit himself, his body is exerting the same amount of force back on the racket that the racket swing is exerting on him. And then when gravity overcomes his initial propelling against it and he falls back to the earth where his impact is, let's see. The gravity is 9.8 meters per second squared. Impact would be, well, ignoring for friction and relativistic effects, well, the kinetic energy in joules would be half times the mass energy times velocity squared, but you have to work in that he fell into snow, which, based on the work energy principle, this changes the kinetic energy of his body equal to the net work done on his body. So, no. Get the physics right, Hanna-Barbera. Don't make me second-guess my love for Scooby-Doo, Laugh Olympics, or Yogi's Treasure Hunt. If you're going to pull the physics shit in there, make it realistic.
Yeah, but you want to walk past the same thing five times in a scene, that's cool, but don't fuck with Newton's laws.
No.
But Wiggly, Keith, it is Christmas.
Oh, the Christmas magic.
There's Christmas miracles all around us.
Hey, Kyle.
Yeah, it's every Christmas miracle.
Hey, Kyle.
Yeah, Wiggly.
Those ghosts are fucking Pac-Man in the mouth.
We gotta put some chocolate syrup all over his sweet yellow body.
That was very creepy.
Yeah, it was.
It's all, and they chop him and he just, and it sounds like Pac-Man lets out this, like, oh, and yeah,
I
was wondering if they played the sound effect of Pac-Man dying for the voice actor of Marty Ingalls and said, "Just make a noise like this," and he just went, "Huh."
Well, when the ghost monsters are planning that chocolate chomping, they're actually pouring it chocolate on Clyde. They're acting this out on Clyde. Then they cannibalize Clyde.
Yes,
and he just turns into rags.
And they try to, like, hold the rags up to, like,
say he's okay.
Yeah, this whole thing is about mouth rape and seasonal depression.
See, that's what they don't explain. You
know, kids.
Right. That's what they don't explain in this Santa Goes to Pac-Land is that in the regular cartoon, once they turn into eyeballs, they have to go and put on their ghost costumes. So those are actually costumes. They're normally just eyeballs. And then they put on ghost costumes. So those are costumes, and that's why he's just a bunch of rags. But they don't explain that here.
No, they have him go in the closet and, you know, put on the different rags, which I don't understand. They always put on the same things, but they have, like, all these different outfits hanging there.
Yeah.
And somehow always pull out the same color there every time.
The one guy came out in his long johns, which that was cute.
Yeah.
I like how sometimes their scarves went over their shoulders, and then sometimes they were just tied around their waist. Like,
what are the ghosts like in here?
Green animators just getting lazy.
Yeah, there was some lazy animation, but, you know, Baby Pack's nose was disappearing every once in a while.
Oh, my God, Baby Pack.
You know, the
hallmarks
of Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I want to bite a pack pellet and jump off the roof.
So eloquent sometimes for a baby, though. Like, there's moments where Pack Baby's just like, oh, yummy ghost. And then other moments like, you should remember to share with others during the holiday season. Like, what is up with this?
That's it.
What were the ghost monsters' names? Because there was somebody same at the end.
Same as the video game. You have Blinky, Pinky, Inky, Clyde, and then Sue.
Santa lost his bag of toys when he crashed. And he's right. Like, oh, no, I can't make toys. I'm now going to do it. And that's when he gets all depressed.
I've dumped my sack all over Packland.
Yeah, that's when he cries. Point, all of history, Santa predates even us.
Sure. Him and Jesus. Now, the ghost monsters find Santa's bag of toys. And, man, they are just so grateful. And they're so playful. And they're so innocent. And that's all they needed. They needed some illusion of good fortune.
Yeah, they just got to sit there and play game together.
I feel so sorry for the ghost monsters. Because they are so gleeful. They're chanting, toys, toys, toys. Don't you think Santa would have wanted them to have toys and Pac-Man and Chomp Chomp to not commit grand larceny by digging under the snow and stealing the toys? Now, why do you think these guys are pissed off? They just had the greatest thing that ever happened to them in their lives stolen from them. I mean, it wasn't like they went and stole Santa's toys. They found them there, and they thought, this is the greatest day of my life.
Pac-Man rolled in, and he was like, nah, son.
Yeah, right. Pac-Man didn't even try to reason with them. You know, he was like, hey, yeah, give those back. Those aren't
100%.
Yours.
If anyone was stealing anything, it was Pac-Man.
Yeah.
He stole it from them. You're right. They just found those toys.
They steal everything, but yet Pac-Man is invulnerable to any kind of judgment or anything at all.
Well, then they chomp Pac, and Pac now becomes like, I don't think I have enough power to climb my way back to Pac-Man land.
Yes, and that's when he thinks they've gotten the toys, but Chomp Chomp actually ran away with the bag and comes back and is like, come on, Pac-Man, we got to make it. Got to make it back home and bring the toys to Santa, where Pepper Pack is working on getting those reindeer purring, as she so said.
But then Mac-O-Pack, the cop goes, looks like Pac-Man didn't find Santa's sack. So if you want to talk about chomping on Santa's sack and all this, you got it all in here, boy. I can't put any jokes for adults in here because we got a bunch of stupid people writing this shit. So I'm just going to put a lot of innuendos.
It's loaded up. So Pac-Man does make it back with the sack.
Yeah, with toys. Santa's sack.
With Santa's sack, he makes it back.
Pepper really worked up those reindeer.
Yeah, got them all raring to go, but it's 5 minutes to midnight.
Oh, no.
There's no way Santa's going to deliver all the toys across the whole world in time.
But Keith, what's the answer? Fucking pills, because it's Packland.
Power pellets are fucking everywhere. And
get Rudolph on the gas.
We got to go to the power pellet forest. To get these reindeer going. Not like the corner store in Packland where they probably sell power pellets like, you know, fruit. It's Christmas. Everything's closed. The only place open or the only place where they can think of to get power pellets is from the source.
Well, what about in their fucking hot chocolate? Just open up a couple more packs of hot chocolate.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, you could double the dose with extra hot chocolate because, like I said, it's cut down with, you know, some other elements in the hot cocoa. You're not getting that pure right from the branch. So they all
right
hop
from the branch.
So they all hop at the Pac-Mobile and Santa's following it. Which, and Santa, for some reason, doesn't fly to the forest. He just follows on the ground. And on the way there, the ghosts try to stop them. And this is where we get Pac-Man's inspiring speech to, like, come on, guys. it's Christmas, and we have no idea what it is, and you don't know who this Santa guy is, but I'm going to say Santa Claus like you know and talk to you how important it is we do this. And even though you've always just wanted to mouth rape me, just let us go this one time because it's Christmas, this holiday you know nothing about.
Pac-Man never says what his plan is, and I like how skeptical Santa is because they're standing in the forest. He's like, so what are we going to do now, you dumb shit?
Where are we going? He's like, I got this. Just believe in Pac-Man as you do Jesus, and right. All will turn out well. And then the ghosts start crying.
The ghosts are like, oh, you mean that he's even going to give presents to the ghost monsters? Well, then why'd you steal their presents? The hell he has enough presents? He only had enough for these five ghosts.
The presents aren't as important as are at the end of the special. They can't give them to him yet.
Oh, this is special. This is definitely special.
Right. You know? And now Santa can go and deliver the presents, but not before he makes a stop at the pack house. So when the packs come home, there is the lovely Christmas tree. And somehow Pac-Man knows there's presents for everyone. And the ghosts are like, this time we're going to get them. And as they rush in to go eat Pac-Man, Pac-Man hands them all presents. And they're so happy.
What did they get? Everyone.
So I don't think they even open anything.
I don't think they open them.
Jesus. No. It might be an empty box.
They didn't want to go over budget for this one. It was Christmas.
I mean, if this was like some true old school cartoons, it would be like get Bugs Bunny giving them the gift. They just explode in their face and then eat some.
I mean, really, what do you get a ghost monster for Christmas that they don't
clearly
have?
A toy boat and plane and a doll, because they choo-choo. Really dug those.
Yeah.
Choo-choo train as well.
And a copy of Game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you guys think they're dead children?
They probably are.
They're like dead 40s kids or something.
Oh, man.
They're the dead West Side kids. Now they went from the East Side to the West Side.
At that point, you could have just got them a stick and a hoop and they would have been thrilled.
<That's right. laughs> You know, for kids.
Yeah.
They already had a net. They could have played some games with that and the chocolate sauce. Well, they were playing some games with them, I think.
So, yeah, Christmas Comes to Pac-Land is so dumb. But it's only 22 minutes, so you should go and watch and see how dumb it is.
Here's the thing. I can really get behind this movie, despite poo-pooing all over it. However, the musical score is that constant and unbearable generic cartoon scores that's like paint by numbers, but the numbers don't even belong in that picture.
Yep.
And it's constant. It's all at the same volume. There's no crescendos. It never drops out, and it doesn't match what's going on. It doesn't.
Somebody spilt like a gallon of soda on a Moog synthesizer and said, that's good enough.
It's just...
Because it is. It's got like a lot of synth.
Yeah.
But it's like... It's
so
like, this is the saddest moment in our lives.
And it's so overpowering. It's the same volume as their voices. Offline, Kyle, the other day, we were talking about the different types of Addams Families and stuff like that. And you were saying that, you know, if it didn't have the laugh track, it would be good. But it would be perfect. But
sure,
cartoons that got this Erector Set canned music treatment are completely destroyed by these scores. If it's a good or a bad or a mediocre animation, it's very difficult to overcome that constant drone of distractions. And the Pac-Man TV show had this too. However, just like they'll spend all the money on the money shot, if you don't know what the money shot is, it was actually a cartoon and an anime term before it was used for when you shot the load and made somebody a glazed donut. Yeah, it's actually because if you notice, like most cartoon openings in the 80s and the 90s, that's where all the money went. The money went into making these big openings, and then sometimes they'll use that thunder, thunder, thunder. They'll use it during a show when people transform into things. And it began with anime.
Big offender for me on that. To go off tangent is the Mega Man cartoon where the intro looks so badass and cool, and then the show starts and it looks like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Well, think of
what happened.
Transformers. Think of G.I. Joe. Just compare those openings to the show itself.
Right. It has but a lot more frames of animation, even Ren and Stimpy. In fact, it probably started before that, but this is before they call it the money shot. It started before that when you'd get the close-ups of Bugs Bunny and his face would be all rendered, and then Ren and Stimpy would ape that later. So that was actually the money shot. So the beginning of the Pac-Land cartoon had this really nice, like, funky bass going on and, like, real band stuff. But then it breaks down maybe about 3 minutes in, and it's the same type of stuff. However, they do take breaks in the music, which is so nice for your earballs. Now, I won't say that the fucking show is any better, because it's not. But at least the music isn't overpowering. Now, I will tell you this. Gilligan's Planet, which was not by Hanna-Barbera, but Gilligan's Planet had both the canned music and the laugh track.
Whoa.
So try to make it through an episode of that. But it did have the real voice actors, except for Marianne and Ginger, from the live series. So that was kind of neat. And they didn't sound like Adam West now. Okay, Robin.
Oh, man, you're such a bully.
Well, I was watching...
Remember Batman... No, there's plenty of Batman Christmas specials. It's called Batman Returns.
No, that's true. But there's also Batman cartoons that have... I have an entire collection of dozens and dozens of television episodes. Every single year, The Office had a Christmas special. Twilight Zone had two Christmas specials. Batman, the newer Batman, one of the newer Batman's cartoons, had a Christmas special. Wonder Woman had one where she's fighting giant toys. So I have all these special episodes of Tales from the Dark Side had Christmas specials.
So what you're saying is we got 8-bit Xmas covered for many years to come.
If we want to go through different TV shows, as this is a TV show. However, for some reason, this stands out as its own movie, and I don't know why. So that's Pac-Man gets his own Christmas chomping.
I recommend this to anyone. I mean, anything we can talk about twice as long as it actually is, there's got to be something to it, man.
It's just so dumb.
In the holiday spirit... Eat your friends and your neighbors three times for a quarter.
Chocolate syrup just rubbed all over their hot bodies. And if you're not familiar with us, we're also doing our own holiday experience over on our podcast, We Talk Games. It's called Holiday Haymakers. All December long, we're talking about fighting, brawling, punch them in the face type games. So come on over, check us out. And I want to thank Doug, Kevin, and Jeremy for having us on the 8-Bit Xmas.
You ain't shitting. Okay, bye, everybody. I hope that you like us and come listen to us on our television. Bye.
I used to feel down, but I hit the ground running. Makes me feel alive. I was searching for the answers until I changed the question. I pulled back the curtain.
Don't forget there are many gods that do all over the world.